Oh, praise the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Are you excited?
Yes.
We got so much to be excited about. Amen. God started to work in us, and Brother Dennis told us this morning in our Sunday school lesson that God was going to be faithful to finish it. Think about that. Salvation started at the moment that you accepted Christ, and then Christ started working in your life and my life by the Holy Spirit, and with each day that we encounter, that we live for the Lord, you and I, we're on the potter's wheel is what we are. You know, Isaiah 64:8 says that God is not only our Father, but He's the potter. And He's shaping and molding you, and He's going to be faithful in finishing what He started. That's encouraging to us, amen? But in the meantime, we face trials and struggles. We face an enemy out there. If you would open up your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to kind of go along the same theme that we had last week and this morning, talking about the enemy. But the reason why we're talking about the enemy, because we want to be very aware of his tactics where we can use the provision that Jesus gave us to walk above the enemy. Amen? So let's talk about defeating the devourer. Defeating the devourer. Now there's two basic ways. One way, when you and I are in perfect obedience, God just rebukes the devourer. And then in other ways, you and I, we defeat the enemy, the devourer, by our faith and by our submission. Because you can't have faith unless you're submitted. Amen? But tonight, we're going to look at the faith and the submission part, how they go hand in hand. And I want you to be so encouraged, because you need to take the victory that's in your life through Jesus Christ out and be able to share that, amen, with everybody that you come in contact with. Because people all around that you're going to meet, that I'm going to meet, they meet the devil every day. And they need to know that there's an answer to his very attack. Now the word devour in the Bible, Old Testament means just a little bit different, or it's termed just a little bit different than in the New Testament. But here in the New Testament, in 1 Peter, it means to gulp down, to drink wholly. In other words, the enemy, he wants to consume you. That's his plan, amen? But let's see what the Word warns us about and gives us instruction. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. Let's read 8, 9, and 10. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. You there?
Amen.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the very promise, the very understanding that you want us to be aware of what Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, has done for us, but also aware that we need to learn how to utilize that grace. We need to learn and understand that in this world, we shall have tribulation. But because we're in you, you have overcome the world. And by you and because of you, we are overcomers. We are more than conquerors. And so, Father, I ask by the Spirit of God that you expand our mind, give us understanding about the very promise of grace and how we can walk through the plan, the attack, the very assault of the enemy, and we can walk through high in you with a testimony that shows and reveals that Jesus Christ is alive and well. He's on the throne, and He's on the throne of our heart. We ask this, Father, in the name of Jesus, and we all say,
amen,
amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Notice there in verse 8, I want you to concentrate first of all there on that last part of the verse where it says, He may devour. Devour. The enemy, that's his number one goal, is to devour you, to devour me, to devour the Christian. He done has the world, so he's got that sewed up unless you and I are in the place that we're going to be, amen, and reaching the harvest. But in the meantime, while we're in our place, we've got to recognize that everything that you do in life, everything that you plan out, the enemy has something to try to hinder that. He has something to try to stop that. You see, God's, I want you to, I've tried to paint a picture of the past few months. I want you to see this because everything that is happening here on earth is being replicated in heaven, because this here is just a temporal example of what is eternal in heaven. Amen? And so, as we're here on this earth and we're walking about seeking the Lord, doing everything we can do for Him, in heaven, as we've talked about the past few months, the devil is trying to bring you and I to trial. He wants to bring you to trial. He wants to bring me to trial. And so what we want to see, we want to recognize, when you start going through things in this life, you start being tempted, you start going through trials, you start being persecuted, you start feeling discouraged or browbeaten, you start losing your hope, recognize that there's something happening in heaven. The devil is bringing you, bringing me, before the very audience of the Hall of Faith, but before the Godhead, and he's accusing you. When you feel those things in the natural, it's because he's speaking and talking about them in the heaven realm, and that oppression is coming down. I know just as well when trial is going on in heaven, when court is happening, because I can feel it. My whole outlook, my whole understanding, everything shifts, everything changes, and if I get my eyes off of Jesus, amen? And we'll document that, but let's look at this. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Now, before we move on, I want you to think about this word devour one more time. This is the same word that were, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, down about verse 54, there's a promise made. It says death is swallowed up in victory. That swallowed is the same word here as devoured. And in other words, the thing that the devil's wanting to do to you and I, Jesus Christ, by His death, burial, and resurrection, amen, by that, it's been devoured, what the enemy's wanting to do in your life. It's been swallowed up. Amen. It's been gulped down. In other words, the blood of Jesus is covered over every plan. And so that's what you and I have got to focus on when we go through these things. But I want us to look at three things out of these verses of Scripture. Number one, know your enemy. Know your enemy. Because if you and I are going to succeed, we've got to understand the devil. And look what it says here. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. So you need to know, I need to know that I have an adversary. Now this word adversary, it means an opponent. It means an accuser. But specifically, this word is used, and if you look at it, and we'll go in just a moment of time to the minor prophet Zechariah, and it's used as the Satan, the adversary, meaning the prosecutor. Satan is the prosecuting attorney. He's the one that is opposing you and I. He's on the right side, and he's there before God, just like Revelation chapter 12 says, and he's talking about everything that you've ever done. And he's not only that, the Bible says he's a liar. He makes up all he can make up. He twists everything he can. And so I want you to see that. So you've got to know your enemy and know that he's trying to sow things in your life. He's trying to change and alter the course that God has for you. Why is he doing that? Because the Bible says that your life, my life, is formed by the words of God. You and I, we choose life. God said that this day, Deuteronomy 30 and 19, He said, this day I lay blessing before you or cursing. I lay life before you or death. Choose you this day. And so when we choose the Word of God, that's life. But at the same time, that our adversary, the one who wants to devour us, he tries to do the other. So let's go to the minor prophet Zechariah. Let's see where you can understand the trial. We've talked about these verses of Scriptures before, but I don't think we got them in our spirit. Zechariah chapter 3. Now I want you to picture this. This is a vision. This is a vision. God gave this vision, and all the other people didn't see it, but they gave it to the prophet to be able to speak it forth so the people could understand what was happening in heaven. They're on earth, but the vision is of what is happening in heaven. So you've got to get that in your spirit. Zechariah 3:1, and he showed me Joshua, the high priest. Now this Joshua here is a symbol for all of God's people, okay? Because every one of you and I, when we get saved out of the mouth of Jesus, out of the mouth of Paul, out of the mouth of Peter, we are kings and priests. Amen?
Amen.
You're the priest of your household. You're the king under the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Okay? So he's talking and he said, here's what he saw. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. Standing before Jesus Christ, if you would. And look what's happening. Look at that second half of the verse. And Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Now, once again, Satan here, it's the Satan in the Hebrew. And it means the opponent, the adversary, but it means the prosecutor. So here Joshua is, he's on trial. He's on earth, but the prophet is showing him what is happening in heaven. In other words, here he is. He's supposed to be the great high priest of Israel. You and I, we're the believers of Jesus. We're supposed to be the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But at the same time, the devil, just like he's doing here with Joshua, he does the same thing with you and I. He's bringing all of these accusations against Joshua. And when you start feeling these things, when you start feeling hopelessness and discouragement, and you start feeling kind of a pull to maybe go back and think things like you used to think, or do things like you used to do, or talk like you used to, know that you're on trial. Because there's a screen. There's a screen in heaven, and it's being played. But the thing of it is, what the devil's playing, God never sees, because when it's under the blood, all God sees is the blood of Jesus. Amen? But it still has an effect on you as it's being replayed. And so I got to be in a place where we keep that very crown that Jesus died to give us, that robe, we keep it upon us. Because look what's said here. It says in verse 2, "And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuked thee." In other words, we're talking about the Godhead, okay? And Jesus says to God, the Lord rebuked thee. In other words, just like in Jude, you remember when Michael the archangel tells the devil, he said, "Hey, the Lord rebuked you. Don't argue with me about Moses' body. Don't ask me these questions," because no doubt he had took care of the body how God told him to. But he wasn't going to argue with him. And you and I, we can't waste our time arguing with the devil. Amen? We follow this pattern. The Lord rebuked thee. Now look what he says. "The Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuked thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem." You're a chosen generation. Come on, that's what Peter said. It's talking about, yes, Jerusalem, but Jerusalem means founded on peace. And who's the Prince of Peace? Jesus. Who are you building your life upon? Jesus. So it's talking about you and I. Anybody that's founded on peace is founded on Jesus. Isaiah 26:3, "The mind that is stayed upon the Lord is kept in perfect peace because He's that peace." But right here, you and I have got to see ourselves. We've got to see ourselves the way God sees us. We've got to let God talk about us, not the devil. And it says, the Lord hath chosen Jerusalem, rebuke thee. He said, is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? In other words, every one of us, Brother Dennis said it this morning, every one of us were destined for hell. Hell fire. But we've been pulled out. We, just like you would pull a brand out of a hot fire, you and I, we're pulled out because of the grace of God.
Yes.
But yet, in heaven, Satan is still accusing you. He's still accusing me, our enemy. So we've got to recognize that he's not going to change. He's going to keep talking about those things. Why am I saying this? Because once again, when he plays that across the screen, you feel it.
Yes.
I feel it, but God don't see it. And you've got to believe that the blood of Jesus has washed that away from you as far as the east is from the west. It's through in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be brought up again. Amen?
Amen.
So when you start feeling that, you say, "The Lord rebuked thee."
Amen.
Adversary, it's not going to work. You're not going to put me on trial for that. You're not going to condemn me for that. You're not going to make me change my action, my attitudes, my words, because I'm washed. I'm cleansed. I'm covered by the blood. Look what he says in the next verse. "Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him." Now this filthy garments, this is the strongest word in Hebrew for filth. This word, it's the strongest word. I'll just leave it at that. You can't get any dirtier than what's being said right here. But you see, that's what the devil is bringing up. Because look what God says. Behold, I have caused thine iniquity, verse 4, to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. You see, if I let the devil talk to me about everything that I used to do, all of a sudden, I'll think that's all I'll ever be able to do.
That's right.
That's why, that's your enemy. That's why he wants to accuse you.
Amen.
That's how the adversary works. Because I spent so many times listening to him, I didn't feel worthy of the grace of God. I didn't feel worthy of the blood of Jesus. And so, all of a sudden, I'd pull away from the one who died for me. I would hug the one who was trying to kill me. And I would do what he wanted me to do. The picture he was painting me, I would relive it. It was like pushing play, rewind. Play, rewind. Play, rewind. I was in a cycle. Amen? But all of a sudden, when I got the realization that what he's showing, God don't see, because I'm a new creature. You're a new creature. Amen? So my adversary, that ploy, that avenue, that vein, it doesn't work anymore. It doesn't work on you. It doesn't work on me, because we recognize what God's done. Look what God said in verse 5. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with the garments. And the angel, oh glory, the angel of the Lord stood by. And Lord Jesus is standing by you. Not only is he standing by you, the Holy Ghost is in you.
Amen.
Amen. So when the adversary starts bringing up all of these, now y'all may not have these issues. This just may be me. But when I feel the trial, all of a sudden, all of those feelings in my flesh, they're just as real as they was when I was in the middle of that sin. And my mind starts being took over by that. Come on, so I've got to come back and I've got to let God show me what is really being seen.
Yes, amen.
And see, then when you do that, when you look into heaven by the Holy Spirit, you see the blood of Jesus and you literally see it coming from the Lamb of God. And you see it coming over you. And as it comes over you, it washes all that stuff away. And God lets us see that, not that it's done continually, but that we see the finished work. Amen? And as we do that, all of a sudden everything changes. Okay, let's look at another verse to make sure we understand. Go to Psalms. I believe it's Psalms. Let's look at a verse about the enemy standing on your right hand. Psalms 109, I believe, Psalms 109. This whole chapter is dealing with evil people. And look what it says in verse 6. Psalms 109, verse 6. Set thou a wicked man over him. This is over the person who doesn't want anything to do with God. And look what it says. And let Satan stand at his right hand. Because this person has chose to refuse God, doesn't want anything to do with God. It's saying, in other words, see Satan as the prosecutor. See him on the right hand. And so what we want to be in a place, in a position, this helps you and I. See, if I can understand why I do certain things when I'm on trial, then that gives me compassion when I recognize that somebody who hasn't accepted the grace of God, who has pulled away from God, and they're in complete, total place of where the enemy can just sift them as wheat. Remember, that's what he wanted to do to Peter. But he couldn't do it because Jesus wouldn't let him, because Jesus prayed for him. Okay, so I need to have compassion because the devil is right there on their right hand side. And he's playing all this stuff in heaven, and it's coming down on them. And all of a sudden, they're doing what they used to do and saying what they used to say, and maybe it's multiplying and getting worse. I need to be in that place to tell them what their adversary's doing. and tell them the answer of how they can step out of that and step into the grace of God to overcome what the enemy means for harm and turn it to good. Amen?
Amen.
So I know my adversary. Okay, let's go back to 1 Peter. I know him. The Bible said that he was my adversary. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring, what? A roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So the devil's gonna, we know that we serve the lion of the tribe of Judah, amen? The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. But Satan is always an imitator. Always. He always tries to imitate. So if I'm gonna know my enemy, I've gotta see him as an adversary, but I also gotta see him as a lion. And he wants me to think that he has authority.
Right.
There's only one king of Judah. And that's the line. That's Jesus Christ. Amen. But the devil wants to step in and intimidate you, intimidate me. So I've got to know my enemy in this area. And if I want to know my enemy in this area, I've got to know that he's going to attack me. Now let's understand lions. What do? You've got a whole herd of lions. You've got the old lion. And I mean, he's the one that's got the voice. It's developed. It's deep. And he hollers, and as he hollers and thunders, it scares the whole area. And he stirs up everybody. But what he's doing, he's trying to get them to run in a certain direction. And then the young lions, they can come, the ones that's got the strength and the speed and the agility, and they chase them down. That's why you and I, we've got to stay together, amen? And we've got to put the little ones in the middle of us. We got to put the weak ones in the middle of us. We got to turn everyone that needs the most in the middle of us. And you and I, we form a circle. Amen. And we protect one another. We stay in that place. Your adversary, my adversary, the devil, the one that has us on trial, he wants to devour us, and he's going to do it like a lion. But what we've got to recognize is, as long as we keep praying, and as long as we keep looking to God and doing what God's told us to do, it doesn't matter what the devil does. He can't stop you. The Lord spoke to me just as clear as I was. He told me, he said, the devil can't do no more to you than you will allow him to do.
That's right.
Let's look at something. Go with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 6. Let's be built up and encouraged. Amen. Daniel chapter 6. Look here, you know the story. The king made a decree, and he said for 30 days nobody pray, right? And Daniel went ahead and he prayed. He wasn't going to let anybody tell him he couldn't pray. And so he ends up being cast in to the lion's den. And for sake of time, let's just look at what it says. Daniel 6:22. The king comes down here to check on Daniel. And look what Daniel reports. Now he says, my God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him in innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Daniel said, I'm innocent. Because he kept doing what he could do. Well, you and I, see, immediately when I say innocent, all of a sudden the devil starts bringing all these things up to our minds.
Sure.
But we got to go back to what God sees versus what the adversary's playing. Amen?
Amen.
If you have repented, you're forgiven.
That's right.
And you're not perfect. We're walking in the light. And as we're walking in the light, we talked about this morning, you're being progressively sanctified. Amen?
Amen.
And you're being made into the image of Jesus Christ. But here Daniel is, and his testimony is, God shut the mouth of the lion. So you and I want to be in a place where we're praying to God. We're dependent upon God. In other words, when pressure comes and the devil tries to get you to do something contrary to what God's told you to do, no matter how much pressure you're under, you do what God told you to do, and God's going to take care of the rest. Come on, as soon as we start trying to do right, the enemy starts bringing pressure to try to change us.
Yes.
You set up a prayer time, and all of a sudden, there'll be things happen to try to rob you of that prayer time.
Right.
Or if you set up something where you go, well, I'm going to talk to this person at a certain time or a certain day of the week. He'll try to steal that where you won't have that opportunity. Where you'll give up. Remember? Daniel 7:25. He tries to wear you and I out. But here Daniel was faithful and God protected him. But if something happens and there's something that comes different, you know, in your life, in my life, we have another promise of provision. Go with me to the book of Judges chapter 14. Let's look at Samson again. We talked about him this morning. But look here what it says about Samson. Judges chapter 14, verse 5 and 6. It says, "Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came unto the vineyard of Timnath. And behold, a young lion," what did we talk about? "A young lion roared against him," verse 6, "and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done." So either whether you're like Daniel and God just shuts the mouth of the lion, or if you're in a situation where it's so instantaneous that you don't even know what's happening, God has the anointing to come upon you that you can destroy the adversary. The one that's trying to devour you can be devoured, amen? Because death has been swallowed up in victory because of Jesus. That's our source. He's our source. We never take our eyes off of Jesus. We never look to anything else. We never lean to our own understanding, but we trust in the Lord with all of our heart. And when we do that, all of a sudden, we have the faith, we have the promise, we have the Spirit that's going to take care of every one of those situations. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So let's go back to our text, 1 Peter 5 and 8. And it said, "Now be sober, be diligent, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." We've got to know our endeavor. We know our enemy, but we've got to know our endeavor. And what did he tell us? What did he tell us to endeavor to do? Number one, he said, be sober. Be sober. And you know, we get caught up on a can of beer or whatever, and we miss the whole boat. Now, this sober here means so much more. It means no outside influence. You see, the Holy Spirit abides within you. And Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would lead you, would lead me, guide us into all truth. But if I'm not listening to that, then all of a sudden I start listening out here. And that brings outside influence. And that's not being sober. Because that any time you take a drink of alcohol, what does it do? It affects you. It affects your body. And if you drink enough of it, it affects your attitude and your action. Come on, you say things that you normally wouldn't say. And eventually you'll do things that you normally wouldn't do. But here we're talking spiritual. It's the same way. If we listen when this trial is going on and the adversary is bringing you up before God, and he's bringing all of these things back to your mind, to your remembrance. If you allow that, if I allow that to influence me, I'll lose my sobriety. My sobriety is that I am full of the Holy Spirit. That greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen? That I'm blood bought. Amen? That the trying of my faith is more precious than gold. But I'll lose all of that because I'll be listening to all of this. And it'll move me away from where God would have me. He said, be sober. Be sober. Now let's look at a verse of Scripture. Hold your place right here in 1 Peter 5 and go to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1:13, look what it says. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." But I want you to concentrate on the first part. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and you'll be sober." Now the loins of your mind, that loins is procreative power. You see, with your mind, with my mind, we have the ability to create the vision of God's Word or the vision of what the enemy's trying to do in our lives. So when the Holy Spirit spoke through Peter and said to be sober, this is telling us how to do it. We gird up our mind. You don't, in other words, when you gird something, it can't go beyond the gird. I mean, that's the limitation. In other words, we are making sure that our mind is in and of and by the Word of God. Amen? And if we do that, all of a sudden, this adversary that's trying to devour us, he can't do it. He can't do it. Okay. So be sober. Now look what he said. He said, be vigilant. So I know my enemy. I know my endeavor. My endeavor is to be sober. My endeavor is to be vigilant. What's vigilant? Vigilant means to keep awake. See how all this plays together? You know, if you drink, you get sleepy. Well, if I get influenced out here, I get sleepy. We talked about it this morning. But I get sleepy in the Spirit, in the things of God. And so he's telling me here, if I'm going to succeed in life, I've got to be vigilant. Well, how do I be vigilant? How do I keep awake? He tells me, go back to the fourth chapter. 1 Peter 4:7. 1 Peter 4:7. He said, but the end of all things is at hand. But ye be therefore sober and what? And watch unto prayer. That's the only way that I can watch is by prayer. See, when I spend time with God, when you spend time with God, all of a sudden, see, the world don't understand what you know. The world thinks a prayer is, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's not prayer. Prayer is two-way communication. So he's telling me here to be sober and to be vigilant, to keep awake by prayer. In other words, God's going to talk to you. He's going to tell you what's going on. He's going to show you what the enemy's doing, the method of operation. You're going to be able to see it. That's what happened to Joshua, the high priest. He was able, through the prophet, able to see exactly what was going on and then see the truth. I want you to see the truth, who you are. In Jesus. What you can do through Jesus. Philippians 4:13 says that you can do all things through Christ because of His strength. Amen? But you've got to see it. I've got to see it. And I've got to gird up my mind and I've got to watch to see that everything the devil's doing is to take me away from that truth. But I watch by prayer, by communication. Let God talk to me. Let God talk to you. He'll tell you. See, I was so dumb. I mean, can I just be honest with you? I was so dumb that I'd done the same thing. I would hit my head on the same thing over and over and over. When God was all the time was wanting to tell me when to duck.
Yeah. That's right.
He was there wanting to tell me. And I'm crying about make it stop hurting. He's wanting me to say, let me help you. See, God gets tired of having to heal us. He wants us to live in a place where He can take us past healing into a place of walking in Him. I'm not talking about physical healing. I'm talking about spiritually not falling to the same stuff. Amen? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, who resist. Your last endeavor is who resist steadfast in the faith. I got to endeavor by resisting. Now, we know what the Scripture says. James 4:7 says, submit to God, and then I can resist the devil. But see, if I don't submit to God, I'll never be able to resist the devil because my victory is Jesus. But also, after I submit to God, as I'm having this prayer life, God's talking to me. He's talking to you. And that's His Word. And we quote the Scripture all the time. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. But I've got to have faith to resist the devil. Look at something with me. Go mark your place here. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm trying to hurry. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Look what Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. He said, above all, I want you to think about that. He's then told us to take on the full armor of God. But here in Ephesians 6:16, he said, above all, taking the shield of faith. The shield of faith. That's the most important thing. The shield of faith. The Lord gave me a sermon one time years ago. I don't know if Brother Larry remembered it or not, Sister Shirley, where we had three different sizes of shields. Shirley, you helped me. You remember it? Anyway, and according to the word that you had in your heart determined the size of your shield. And that's exactly what he's saying here. You and I, we can stand behind this reporter, or we can stand behind this pulpit. Now, if something's coming past me, I want to stand behind the biggest thing possible, don't you?
Amen.
Okay? Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you might. Shall. You shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
Yes.
Now this fiery darts, it's a weak word here. In the Greek, it's missiles. The devil's got missiles. Okay? So, and I know y'all didn't know this, but it was like a light bulb come on to me. Don and I were studying this and we were talking. You know, when you and I get saved, if we're not careful, if we're, you know, if we're going to church and we're trying to do what we're supposed to do, we think everything ought to go good. Have you ever thought that? I mean, I find myself thinking that all the time. And go, but I've been with God. But this is like crud over here. You know what I mean? Of course it's going to be like crud over here. Because the devil wants to take you out. He wants to take me out. He cannot stand it because you're talking to God. You're praying for people. You're witnessing. You're testifying. You're giving of yourself, of your resources. You're giving the love out of your heart. Of course you're going to have trouble. I mean, there's no other, it's a misnomer. Me and Donna, I told her from now on, I said, when I get confused about this, just say asinine, because that's what I'm being. I'm being asinine if I think that I'm not going to have trouble.
Right.
That's why he said, above all, taking the shield of faith where I can quench those fiery darts. You're going to get hit, shot at. But just because you get shot at don't mean you've got to get hit.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right. Amen.
So, I resist the devil by faith. You resist him by faith. And so the most important thing you can have, the most important thing I can have, is the understanding that God is going to talk to you every day.
Yes.
Every day.
Yes.
It may not be a book. It may not be a chapter. It may be a verse. It may be a sentence. It may be one word. But that one word will put faith in you, will put victory in you, that will allow you to be able to stand when the enemy comes. Because mark it down. He's coming. He's coming. Now it said, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You've got to know that everybody's being shot at. Everybody's going through things. Amen? But I want you to see how powerful your faith is. Look at Hebrews 11, chapter 11, down about verse 33. Look what the Word promises us. Hebrews 11:33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. Look at the last part of verse 33. Stopped the mouth of lions.
Yes. Amen.
Through faith.
Amen.
Now you've got to devour who is as a roaring lion. But your faith can stop it.
Yes. Amen.
Come on. Your faith can stop it. And not only can it stop it in your life, but God can use you to bring what you know and your experience to deliver somebody else.
Yes.
Okay, just a little bit more.
Amen.
Go back to 1 Peter. Let's look at the last one. So you know your enemy. You know your endeavor. You resist and you're vigilant and you're very... You're sober, but I want you to look at your end. Look at your end. Verse 10. Let's reread 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us. This word called us, it's a summons. Like you'd get a subpoena. It's a summons. God Almighty, by His grace, has called you. I want you to think about that. Unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after, now notice this, mark this down in your Bible, the last part of the verse, after that you have suffered a while. In other words, you go through every trial, I go through every trial, we suffer. And the devil does it for harm, but the great thing, when we go through the trial, all of a sudden we learn how to depend upon the Lord more. But what does the trial do? The trial brings the fire in us, and all of a sudden, I see a spot in my life, in my heart, in my mind, in my body, that I didn't know was there. The very thing the devil's doing to try to stop me, to keep me from being all God called me to be, all of a sudden now, it's highlighted. And as the devil's trying to stop it, then I can see it now in the suffering because I've grown so close to God because I couldn't make it unless I depend upon God. I'd fell away. You'd fell away. But we got so close to God, and the closer we get to God, the hotter the fire from the altar is. And as that fire burns, that wood, hay, and stubble burns away. Now look what He promises us. But after you've suffered a while, who? God's going to do this. Make you perfect. Now, the word perfect here, it means to complete thoroughly. That's what Brother Dennis told us this morning. So every situation, the devil is coming after you. But it's just an avenue and a vein that the devil's going to use to make you perfect. To complete your life. Now why do we need to concentrate on that? Because that'll help you in your weakest moment. And y'all probably don't do this, but I'm a crybaby sometimes. And I get down and I say, why me, God? Instead, I need to be thanking the Lord that He loves me this much. Come on, that He will bring me through this. And I'll be made more like Jesus. And this grace of God will be so real to me that I can walk up to somebody else and I can tell them something that is real. It's not hearsay. It's not thought. It's not imagination. But it's real as real can get. Amen?
Amen.
Now look what He said. I'll let you go. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle. That means like setting a fence post in concrete. I mean, you're set fast on a foundation, that true rock that isn't going anywhere. See, before the trial, before all the situations where you had to depend upon God, you might have been moved to and fro. But now you're settled. Not only are you settled, but you're in a place where the true strength of Jesus. See, I quoted that verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I got to get in this place, in this position, before the strength will be available for me. Come on. Most people run away from this place. I did for years. But after we get in this place, His strength will do it. Now I want you to... I'll close with this thought. This word here, to complete thoroughly. Do you remember in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4, Jesus comes and starts calling His disciples, you know, Peter and Andrew, and as He calls them, there's an interesting statement there. They're sitting there and they're mending their nets. That's the same word. Right here where it says, after you suffered a while, you'll be made perfect. You see, we think perfect is something that's brand new, that has no marks. But I want you to see it in the sense that that net was their livelihood. But they had to mend it. Well, we're the livelihood to the gospel. And Jesus wants to mend you. He wants to mend me. And you see those things that the devil says it's scars of dishonor? They're badges for the reality that Jesus has done a work in our life. And that He loves us and He's taken us someplace. Amen?
Amen.
That's the completion.
Amen.
So, everything that the enemy, as he brings you to trial, you just stand firm. And you close your eyes and you say, the Lord rebuke you. And as you close your eyes, I want you to picture the blood of Jesus. And let that blood wash away the mistake that the devil is showing you that you made. The sin, the trespass, the offense, whatever it is. If you gave it to the Lord, literally, you say that's silly. No, it's not. I'm telling you something here that will make you strong. I'm telling you here something that will cause you to overcome. Because as you do that, there's a healing that happens. I'm working with all my heart. I can't get it in my spirit yet. I can't get it done. But soon we're going to have a service. And we're going to have a service. And it's, remember I told you several months ago, I was working on a sermon about walking wounded. We're going to see some things in people's spirits. They're going to be healed. And this is one way that they're going to be healed. Because your spirit will never be healed. My spirit will never be healed until we can really see the blood of Jesus. I mean, that's not daydreaming. Because it's happening in heaven. I'm not asking you to do something that's childish or that's not real. I'm asking you to do something that's more real than the pew you're sitting on. But if you'll close your eyes and you'll see the blood flowing down, all of a sudden that stronghold, it has no avenue in your life no more. You're not that person anymore. That doesn't control you anymore. That doesn't manipulate you anymore. That doesn't influence you anymore. Because you are under the influence of the Spirit of God because of the blood of Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
Father, I thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. I thank You, Lord, that You're going to complete us thoroughly. That You're going to make us fishers of men. That net that You are putting together in our lives, it's going to enable us, empower us to be all that we can be. And when the enemy comes, because of the faith that You have gave us and You told us to add to our faith, we can see kingdoms fall out of the enemy's very territory, out of his camp. We can see the enemy, the very lion's mouth shut in people's situations. Right now, under the sound of my voice, every person in here, we've got somebody that we love, somebody that we know, and the enemy is shouting. He is roaring. The lion is roaring in their life. And I ask that You help us be in the right place at the right time under the anointing of the Spirit of God to use the faith that You have gave. You said You dealt to every person the measure. Romans 12:3, the measure of faith. Let us use that faith and see Satan's kingdom come down, the enemy's mouth shut. Lord, let people walk freer tonight. Because they've been here and they've heard and felt the ministering of Your Spirit. I ask You, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Would You come tonight? Spend some time with the Lord. The Lord wants to take every care off of you. He wants to lighten you up. He wants you to be just as free as possible. And He wants you to see exactly what the method of operation of the devil is. Where you can walk past it, walk over it, walk through it, however God chooses to lead you. And you could be in a place, in a position of bringing victory to those who are without. No doubt. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Dennis. I appreciate you so much. You're such a blessing to us.
Amen.
I know that I might not have been as clear as I would like to have been, but I want you to think, take these scriptures home with you, look at them, pray about it, and I want you to see how important it is to understand that because of Jesus, that you're not guilty. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says that because you're in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. No condemnation upon your life anymore. Now, I can go back into that if I want to, but it says those who are walking after the Spirit, that's how the verse ends, there's no condemnation. And so when the devil tries to put you on trial, put me on trial, like he was Joshua, know that God's talking for you. God tells the devil, I don't know what you're talking about. So, don't think on it. Because if you think on it, all of a sudden, it'll start weighing on you. And I'm just being honest with you, okay? If I start thinking on it, it won't be too long till I'll be talking about it. And then I'll be doing it. Come on now. Because the Bible tells us that whatever I think in abundance in my heart is going to come out. And the Bible tells us in James 3, what comes out, what I say, that's the way I'm going. So you see, you've got to say that you are a blood-washed child of God.
Amen.
Because you'll never go, as a man thinketh in his heart,
yes,
so is he.
Yes.
You'll never go further than what you think in your heart. Amen?
Amen.
Brother Dennis.
Thankful for the message tonight. Let's give the Lord a hand. In the way of announcements, I guess Thursday night, you're still going to have the Bible study. At what time? 6:30? Although I don't get to come, but I will announce it for somebody else. But is anything else? Is there any rallies anywhere or anything that we know of? Or?
I think everybody has decided for the cakewalk for Valentine's Day, we're going to do it Friday before Valentine's, at 6:00 here at the church, and it'll be, I know Vicki and Laura and everybody's been talking about doing a cakewalk over there.
So okay.
Vicki, do you want to elaborate?
Well, just everybody bring cakes and pies and cookies or whatever. We're not going to take money yet, I don't think. We're just going to walk, and if you may know a number, you get a cake or whatever.
Okay.
Next week is our missions offering, and this time we're going to take it up for Jason because he needs a harness to be lifted up, and it costs several $100s. So everybody be prepared for next week. The missions offering will go to Jason.
Okay. I guess everybody knows the guys won the penny marks today, so remember that. It's something that I hope, it kind of gets the kids excited and stuff and everything. So, and it also helps the church, so that's what it's going for, is the church, the main church fund, to help kind of, we got summer will be coming and you'll have higher electric bills again, and stuff like that. And We are now we took on a little bit more stuff, like on these missions and stuff, we're giving to them now, so, remember that and everything, and see how all that turns out. And, I noticed something else. Next Sunday, I will be given a report for January, a church report, financial report for January. So if you want to hear it, we'll be here. It won't take all that long, but anyway, that's how it's going to be. Because everybody was wanting a report on the finances, so I'm going to try to do that every month, you know, and everything. So, all right, is anything else? If not, we'll stand. And I will ask Brother Larry if he'll dismiss us.
Dear fellows, we come to you and that, Lord, and close this fellowship, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for the word that you give Brother Greg, Lord, to pass on to us, Lord, so we can open our hearts and cultivate our hearts, Lord, and so we can let it grow and we can develop and become, Lord, as you have us to be, Lord. Just open our hearts and guide us and direct us. We pray in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.